We live in a world full of voices, telling us where to go, who to be, and what matters most. But what if we're not meant to navigate life on our own? God has given us His Spirit, not as an idea, not as a force, but as His presence within us. The Spirit guides us when we feel lost, strengthens us when we feel weak, convicts us when we drift, and transforms us from the inside out. This is not self-help. This is not willpower. This is not religion. This is power. Your next destination is set. GPS, God's powerful spirit. You were never meant to navigate life alone.
All right, thank you for joining us here today at Academy Christian. If you're joining us in person, online, or over at our Westside campus, so we're so glad that you're able to be here. If you're here and you have a bulletin, you can pull out that insert, that sermon outline, follow along there. You can do it electronically if you want, but would sure want to encourage you to be a part of that. If you've been around Academy Christian Church for very long, you probably heard about the propensity that I have for summiting 14,000-foot peaks in Colorado. And as you might imagine, when you're in high alpine backcountry in the Rocky Mountains, you're going to have some very interesting experiences. Well, on one particular summit attempt, there were four of us that were planning to climb a couple of peaks down in the Sawatch Range near Salida. Got a picture of them, Chavanoe and Tabawatch. And unfortunately, unless you can make some kind of a loop in order to get back to your vehicle, it requires you, if you're going to summit those two peaks, it's going to be two peaks for the price of three. Because you're going to have to go up over one, and then to get back to your car, you're going to have to go back over that first one again, hoping to garner a little sympathy there for how much work that actually is. But I would just say, instead of taking a more well-traveled east approach on that particular occasion, I decided to take the less well-traveled southwest approach, which is probably why we had a little bit of difficulty locating the trailhead. But we finally did find a trailhead, and to make a long story short, several hours later, after some pretty strenuous hiking and climbing, we made it to the top of this high ridge, only to discover that we were one ridge over from the ridge that we actually needed to be on to make the summit. And by then, it was too late in the day to make the necessary adjustments, and so we went home that day empty summited. And I just say that because it didn't take too many experiences like that for me to be motivated to finally purchase, and I have it here with me today, a Garmin handheld GPS, hiking GPS unit. And I got it. It was awesome. Now, I'd like to be able to tell you how useful it was and how it accurately guided me up and down numerous 14ers. But alas, the GPS never helped me very much because I didn't take the time or make the effort to learn how it worked or how to interact with it. And so even though I possessed it, it was never of any advantage to me. And I think what can be as challenging, maybe even more difficult than somebody of a 14er, would be maybe simply navigating this amazingly complex world in which we live. Which I just want to say is why I want to make sure that during the remainder of my years on earth, that I get better and better at listening to and then following the guidance of my supernatural GPS and yours too, which is God's powerful spirit. And I would wish that for you as well. Because as you've heard us say, and we'll keep saying it again, you and I were never meant to navigate this life on our own. Now, the series that we're in called GPS, I think we'd all agree that the GPS system that we have in the world today is one of the most useful ways of technology that we have, especially when you need some assistance just getting somewhere. Well, what we're relating GPS to in this series is actually the Holy Spirit, which we learned last week is an incredible gift of God to every single believer. And so today what we want to talk about is how the Holy Spirit was given to us to provide guidance for our life. And you know, God has always been about guiding His people. In fact, do you know, He kind of provided GPS-like guidance for the nation of Israel during their journey from Egypt to the Promised Land that ended up taking 40 years. That's a long journey. Imagine how those poor Israelite parents had to listen to their kids complain from the back of the donkey. Are we there yet? You know, for 40 years. And back then they couldn't just say, hey, only three more Sesame Streets till we get there, because they didn't have Sesame Streets, so I don't know what they used. But in Exodus chapter 13, here's what we read. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way. And at night, a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or by night. Now, I don't know if it's anything more than a coincidence, but I think it's interesting to me that when God poured out His Holy Spirit for the first time, the Holy Spirit who would guide His people's lives, it showed up like a miniature pillar of fire. Here's what we read in Acts chapter 2. They saw what seems to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit would now provide specific guidance for God's people. And the Holy Spirit should be guiding all of us today, except for maybe one small glitch. You may have noticed that we don't talk that much about the Holy Spirit in church today. I've had people remind me of that. And as I hope that you heard and took to heart last week, the Holy Spirit is God's amazing gift to you. And I just want to apologize maybe for not making more of Him in my ministry to you. But have you noticed how easy it is for us to talk about God, talk about Jesus, and how much harder it is for us to talk about the Holy Spirit? I mean, we'll sing to God as we just did. We tell stories about Jesus where we can picture Him teaching and healing. But I got to say, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, things get a lot quieter. And for some of us, it could be because maybe we've seen some things that felt confusing, maybe a little bit chaotic. For others, I think it's just unfamiliarity. We're not really quite sure how to describe Him or what He actually does. And for many of us, I think if we're honest, it's a little uncomfortable. Because if the Holy Spirit is real, and He is, and if He's active inside of us, does that mean that we're not fully in control? And so what do? Well, we don't reject the Spirit. We don't deny the Spirit. We just don't talk about Him that much. And here's the problem with that. Because while we're asking God sometimes for direction in our lives, we may be overlooking the very one He actually sent to guide us. And if you're a Christ follower, you would definitely need the Holy Spirit in your life, because you were never meant to navigate this life on your own. And so the Spirit actually, it's not unknown. But I would say compared to God the Father and God the Son, God the Spirit is all too often overlooked or underemphasized and misunderstood. And why is that? Well, a lot of reasons. It might be the fear of extremes or abuse in some settings. You know, teaching on the Holy Spirit can be associated with some uncontrollable emotional outbursts and some confusing practices. And there actually may be some discomfort with the loss of control in our lives. I mean, teaching on the Holy Spirit means talking about surrender and being led and God interrupting our plans. And that can feel a little unpredictable and uncomfortable for leaders and for people. And so let's be honest. It's easier to conceptualize God as your Father and Jesus as your Savior than to try and understand the Holy Spirit as someone who does what? Lives inside of you. Lives in you. Does that mean you're some sort of spiritual cyborg? And that's going to raise, I think, some warning flags for some people, because we are definitely concerned a lot about our autonomy these days. I mean, we're wondering about who's watching us, who's listening in on our conversations. I've had people say, you know, I was having a conversation with someone about something, and the next day it showed up on Facebook. That's just kind of weird. And so, you know, I think we're going to have to figure out what's the best way possible for us to know the Holy Spirit and to be comfortable with Him being in our head in the best way possible. Because I think if we can sing about what a friend we have in Jesus, I think it would be okay to think about what a friend we have in the Holy Spirit. In fact, part of my goal for this series for me would be to get to the place where I could eventually say, I think the Holy Spirit is my best friend. Because the Holy Spirit, I would say, is God's internal guidance support for your life. And my guess would be that a lot of you here today, you might be having to navigate some maybe challenging or unknown territory in your life. For example, there could be a 17-year-old sitting out there today, and you're asking yourself, hey, is that person the one I should be dating? And maybe there's a 25-year-old here who could be asking, hey, is this the job that I really need to take? A 28-year-old could be asking, hey, is this the person that God really wants me to marry? A 32-year-old could be asking, hey, how can I be the best parent for this child? A 40-year-old, because you know when you get to 40, could be asking, hey, how can I live a life that makes a difference and has some meaning? There could be a 49-year-old who's asking, hey, how do I lead my teenager as they prepare to launch? Could be a 55-year-old wondering today, is this the job I need to stay at till retirement? A 65-year-old who could be asking, you know, how much longer should I work until I retire from my current job? And what should I retire to? Could be a 75-year-old who's asking, hey, I need some guidance on how to be a more godly grandparent to my grandchildren. There could be an 85-year-old needing some guidance saying, hey, how do I prepare to leave this world in the most healthy way possible? And so I'm wondering, wherever you're at in life right now, I mean, what are the questions? What's the guidance that you're needing that maybe is keeping you awake at night? Well, the Holy Spirit is a guide who knows the terrain that you don't. And on a hike, a good guide knows what's up ahead, the switchbacks, the drop-offs, the weather changes. But often we can only see what's just right in front of us. Well, with the Holy Spirit, fortunately, he knows what's coming. He sees the whole trail. We can only often just see the next step. And so a good guide, like the Holy Spirit, is going to keep you on the right path. Well, today, we're going to discover, as we take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and so if you have your Bibles, you might want to turn there or pull it up on your device. We're going to discover that the Holy Spirit doesn't just give us information. He gives us a whole new way of seeing and thinking and living. And if you and I can learn to follow his lead, we won't just make better decisions. We'll become improved people. And so let's go ahead and jump in. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting with verse 9. And this verse has so often been taken out of context. For it says, however, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. And it's like they're talking about some time in the future. And they forgot to read verse 10. Because verse 10 says, these are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. And the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thought except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. And I want you to listen carefully to what it says in verse 12. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we can understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. And the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness because they cannot understand them, and they're only discerned through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord as to instruct him? And then that last phrase, isn't that amazing? But we have what? The mind of Christ. How can you and I have the mind of Christ? Through the Holy Spirit living in us. If we really understand. And you may have heard about some blind men who lived in a village. They'd never seen an elephant. They were blind men. And so when an elephant showed up in town one day, they decided that even though they couldn't see him, they would go and each one would feel the elephant so that they could understand it better. And so the first one, you probably heard, grabbed the elephant's leg and said, you know what, the elephant is a lot like a tree. Well, the second one got a hold of the elephant's tail and said, no, an elephant's more like a rope. Well, the third one that grabbed a hold of the elephant's ear said, well, no, I think it's like a big fan. The fourth one, who touched the side of the elephant, said, hey, no, 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 I think it's like a huge wall. It all depended on how they experienced it. And I think sometimes that happens with our experience of the Holy Spirit. We may be limited in our understanding of the Holy Spirit simply because of our limited experience. And I think we got to recognize the hardest concepts for us to accept are the ones that require us to rethink what we've kind of already presumed. And that's why we're hoping in this series for us to be able to take a different look at the Holy Spirit. Because each one of us has our own understanding, mental picture, ideas, and thoughts about who the Holy Spirit is, what the Holy Spirit does. And so this is going to be our challenge a little bit. It can be harder to get old thoughts out of your mind than it is to get new thoughts into your mind, because we want to hang on to those old thoughts. And so how you view the Holy Spirit is going to determine your approach and your interactions with Him. And so let me just warn you right up front. It's easier to believe in the Holy Spirit than it is to actually be led by Him. Easier to believe in Him than to be led. And I think that's especially true for men who will do almost anything they can to avoid having to stop ever and ask for directions, because they want to get there on their own. They don't really want to be led. And so you don't just learn about the Spirit. You must also learn to let Him guide you. And I want to tell you right now, that's not going to happen just automatically. It's actually going to be a developing awareness that involves relationship. Relationship with the Spirit, repeated interaction, and learned trust on your part. So what is it that we know about the Spirit's guidance? What can we expect the Holy Spirit to guide us to do? Well, there's no formula for understanding and incorporating the Holy Spirit into your life. I wish there was. It's a relationship that you have to learn to understand and then respond to. So let's start really kind of at the beginning, the best place for us to be guided by the Holy Spirit, because a key way the Holy Spirit guides you is by helping you understand how the Word of God applies to your life. And that's so important if we want to be following God's plan for our life. And application, of course, is crucial, because truth that's not applied is kind of truth wasted. And knowledge without application, that doesn't transform, it just accumulates. And so God gave us His Word to help guide us in our lives. We know that because in Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, God, Your Word is a lamp to my feet, or a lamp for my feet, and a light on my path to show me the way. And so I want to just let you know right up front, it's been estimated that up to 75% of the Spirit's guidance in your life is going to come from the Bible, 75%. And so what that means is, if you're not spending time in God's Word, you're going to be missing a major piece of the Spirit's guidance. Now, I realize that some of you don't read the Bible because you don't really understand it. You don't like to read. Or maybe because when you read the Bible, it makes you a little bit uncomfortable. And that's really pretty normal. You know what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, talking about itself? It says, the Word of God is alive and active. Sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And see, when we read the Bible, the Holy Spirit actually uses its words to judge the thoughts and attitudes of our heart. And I think I've shared with you before, my 40-year-old son, who last year decided to read through the Bible, the entire Bible. And it was amazing, because as he read the Bible in places that had nothing to do with what he was dealing with, I mean, even when he was reading in the book of Leviticus, he was being convicted about unforgiveness in his heart, because the Holy Spirit was using a lot of different means that he wasn't aware of, because that was guiding his life and guided him to a place where he was able to let that go. And so start with the Scripture. Secondly, the Holy Spirit's going to guide you by drawing you closer to God and away from sin. And let's be honest, that at times can be a bit of a tug of war. And maybe you've felt this tug of war going on in your life. That's what Paul explains in Galatians chapter 5. He says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you'll not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the Spirit desires what's contrary, the flesh desires what's contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. That's that tug of war. And because we live in the flesh, I hope you understand that the flesh is going to try to convince you that you should do whatever it takes to satisfy it. That's honestly why some of us have trouble with donuts. Because the flesh likes donuts pretty strongly. And the tug of war comes because, honestly, sin feels good. Because it satisfies the flesh. But you know the problem with that is only for a brief moment. And unfortunately, it does not satisfy their soul. And let me just warn you, whenever you make satisfying the flesh your priority, it's going to make you a slave to sin and less likely to want to listen to the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit's going to guide you to draw closer to God and away from sin. Then number three, the Holy Spirit is going to help you discern God's plan for your life. Now, I know when I say that, you're hoping, hey, I'm going to get a printout that tells me all the next steps and all the next things that I need to do. But actually, you know, there's a general plan for your life. That's part of what the Bible helps us understand. And sometimes he has a specific plan for our lives. But I got to remind you, God gives us a lot of discretion in the specifics of our lives. We can make a lot of decisions that are totally under God's umbrella of his will. And so I would just say there's only been a few times in my life when I felt God's guidance on a specific part of his plan for my life. The first probably would be when he called me to ministry when I was 16 years old. He clearly said, this is the plan for your life. I would say it happened a couple of decades ago when I was clear that God said, I'm releasing you, Brian, from the church where I was at before I came to Academy. That was really clear. And when he opened up doors for me to come clear or to come here, that was really clear. Otherwise, it hasn't been very specific. But here's what I know for sure, folks. God has a good plan for your life. But you and I have the option to follow it or not. And so as the Holy Spirit is starting to give you guidance, which I hope you're going to just see it start to flourish, you're going to have an option to do a couple of different things. You're going to have an option to either listen or to quench the Spirit. And the way we would quench the Spirit is the Spirit's trying to communicate with us, but we drowned out the Spirit's voice because we want to listen to other voices. And I can't think of even a better illustration than this, even though it's pretty immature. But haven't there been some times, maybe you have done it, when somebody was going to give you information that you know you didn't want to hear. And so how did you respond? La, 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 la. I'm not going to listen. And I think there's times when, maybe not in that sense, but we do that to the Holy Spirit. And we quench the Spirit. And then you can either respond to the Spirit or you can resist the Spirit. And anytime you intentionally give pushback to the Spirit's guidance, you're going to resist him. And you'll say, you know what, I know that's what I should do, but I'm not going to do it. And I want to remind you, the Bible says, whoever knows what's right to do and doesn't do it sins. And so if you quench and resist the Spirit enough, the culmination of continuously doing that is going to actually be to grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, why would that grieve the Holy Spirit? Well, let me ask you, how many times have you watched people that you love make decisions that you knew were going to be bad for them, were going to hurt them? You might have even told them that's not a great decision, but they did it anyway, and you were grieved. Well, you know, it grieves the Spirit when we don't listen to the instruction that he gives us for our own good. And so since this may be new for many of us, I mean, I'm just in the process of learning this right now. I thought what I would give you would be some simple steps to start being guided by the Spirit. And you're going to say, well, that doesn't really help me. You're going to have to listen to the Spirit, but this is going to get you there. And so the first thing I would just encourage you to do is just acknowledge and welcome the Spirit's presence in your life. Don't be afraid to talk about it or talk to him about it. In fact, when was the last time you even thought about the Holy Spirit or him being present in your life? And it's not like you're ignoring him. It's just you're not cognizant of his presence. And so part of the way to welcome the Holy Spirit's presence would just be to say, hey, I welcome you. I'm going to start listening. And part of the problem with us being able to register the Holy Spirit's guidance in our lives, we just haven't given him any attention. Now, we would hope that the guidance, do you know how we want the guidance to come? Lights flashing, sirens blaring, large print, clear directions. Problem is that often is not how it's going to happen. And we've actually seen that in the Bible. In 1 Kings chapter 19, God said, I'm going to reveal myself to you, Elijah. And so he took him up into a mountain. And it wasn't through the dramatic, powerful displays that he first experienced, like this strong wind and a massive earthquake and intense fire. God wasn't in that. Instead, it was through a gentle, quiet whisper. And in that still, quiet moment, Elijah recognized God's presence and he listened. And I think all too often, we're not receiving guidance from the Spirit because we've not really thought about the Spirit being with us, and then we haven't really gotten quiet enough to listen. The second thing I'd encourage you to do would just be begin to interact with him daily and just start by letting him know, Holy Spirit, you're God. I trust you. And so invite the Holy Spirit into your daily routine. Talk to him freely as you go throughout the day and let him be a part of your day. Now, I got to confess with you, I have always invited the Holy Spirit into the major issues and in the major decisions of my life. And I think that it's been harder for me to hear him in those moments because I haven't learned to listen to him in the day-to-day things, the simple things. And so the next thing I'd encourage you to do would be to acknowledge and include him in your Bible reading. When you start to read the Bible, never start to read without saying, hey, Holy Spirit, there's something you need to show to me today. I'm open to that. I'm listening. Because haven't there been times when you've reading a section in the Bible that you've read countless times before, and all of a sudden this verse kind of just pops out and you think, wow, I don't think I've ever seen that before. And it's just what you needed to hear in that moment. That's the Holy Spirit illuminating spiritual truth for that. Take note of it. Stop and just acknowledge. Thank you, Spirit, for showing that to me. And then begin to acknowledge and thank him for those coincidences that you used to just take for granted. Because you just thought, well, that's just part of life. Now, there's a lot of them that we could look at, but the one I wanted to, just because we're in church today, have you ever been sitting here in church and you felt like either a line in one of the worship songs or maybe a line in the sermon, that was actually speaking directly to you? That's the Holy Spirit. Recognize it. Acknowledge it. You know, sometimes after a sermon, I've had a person come up to me and actually say to me, Brian, do you have our house bugged? And I'll try to be honest with them. And if we do have it bugged, I'll usually let them know so we can kind of take care of that. No, we don't have it bugged. That was the Holy Spirit. And whenever that happens, I just encourage you to say, hey, thank you, Holy Spirit, for speaking specifically to me. And my guess is that if you'll start doing that, you'll start to hear more and more of the Holy Spirit because it'll be on your radar. Now, that's just, honestly, just the little stuff. But, you know, the Bible actually says that whoever is faithful with little will be faithful with much. And so my encouragement to you would be begin to recognize the Holy Spirit in those little things so that you'll then be able to trust him in the bigger things when he has to guide your life in different ways. Let's pray. Father, I really do thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who can actually guide our lives, but not if we don't have a relationship with him. And so God, I pray for every one of us when we start our day, maybe that your Spirit could tap us on the shoulder and just remind us that you're there. And when the Spirit does, Holy Spirit, help us to be willing to trust and take the time to listen. Because I know you want to guide us. You want to guide us to better places, better spaces, through challenging times, difficulties, struggles. You want to remind us of God's presence. You want to lead us to places that are going to be healthier for us personally and in our relationships with others. And so, God, I would just want to ask this week that for every one of us here, there would be at least a few moments when we would just be able to be cognizant and aware of your guidance in our lives so that we can continue to build trust and dependence upon you and keep growing in our relationship with you, Holy Spirit. And I ask for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.